This morning on the Let the Bible Speak program, I want to talk about the necessity of the church. Friends, do you believe that the church is important in your life? Do you know of somebody who doesn't really believe the church is important or necessary in their life? They're just living their life, they're enjoying life, but they're not a member of the Lord's church. I want to impress upon our minds this morning, friends, the necessity of the church. And of course, by church, I don't mean a building. I mean being a member of Christ's body, people. People are the church who are saved. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, Jesus speaking to Peter said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." And he tells us of the importance of the church there. "I will build my church." And the church is mentioned so many times in the New Testament. But today, we live in an age where we find many people who will belittle the church or put it down, or they will say something along the lines that it's not important. You know, sometimes people will say things like, "One church is as good as another," or "The church has nothing to do with your salvation," or "You can be saved outside of the church." So I want to talk this morning about being a member of the Lord's church and how necessary that is. You know, another way that people show that the church is not that important is, you know, what they do on Sunday, for example. "I'm not going to go anywhere and worship." Excuse me. "I'm not going to pray. I'm not going to read my Bible. I'm not going to obey the gospel. I'm not going to believe in God. Sunday is for me. I'll go do sports and hobbies and play golf or sit around and watch my phone or TV or spend a lot of personal time. Don't expect me to be somewhere worshiping God." So many people, the church is not necessary to them. So let's talk about the importance of that with the hope this morning to encourage you to make sure that you have the Lord's church in your life, and not just in it, but at the foremost priority of your life. You know, some people say, "Well, you know, I'm going to go to heaven by just being in the world. I don't have to be in the church." Well, it's interesting how you can divide the whole world up into two groups of people: people who are in the world and people who are in the church. And the Apostle Paul actually writes about people in the world. We're going to spend some time this morning with several passages in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians is one of the great New Testament books about the importance of Christ's church. And in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, Paul had been writing about these Ephesian Christians. Before they became Christians, they were living in the world. And Paul writes about their state, and he says, "Having no hope and without God in the world." He mentions some other things there that were characteristic of them. And then he says, "Of no hope and without God in the world." Paul speaks of those in the world as being without God, having no hope. They're without Christ, separate from Christ. Verse 12, certainly no one could say that in that state you can be saved. Not in the world. Paul makes a plain statement that in the world, you're without hope and you're without God. In this same book, he tells us the importance of being in the church. Come out of the world, not physically, but come out of that lifestyle and be a member of the church. You know, some people say that being a good person will save you. They'll say, "Listen, if you're living in the world, you at least need to be a good person. Obey the laws of the land. Be nice to people. Show up to work. Be nice to your family." Some people believe that they can be saved without being a member of the Lord's church because of their moral goodness. And while it's true that those who are morally good, they need to be commended for such behavior. It's great, you know, to tell the truth and be helpful and nice and obey the laws of the land, be a good neighbor. But moral goodness is not all that is required of us to go to heaven. The writer of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9, wrote that Christ is the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. We've got to obey the gospel. Moral goodness without accompanying acts of obedience to Christ's commands cannot bring about salvation. In the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 10, we read about a good man. He was a Roman soldier, a Roman centurion. He was a good man, but he was lost. And so you can be a good person, you can even be a good religious person, but you've got to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ the way it is presented in the New Testament. And so in Acts chapter 10, verse 1, there was a certain man of Caesarea Cornelius by name, a centurion, a Roman soldier, of the band or cohort called the Italian band, a devout man, one that feared God with all his house. So he was religious, he was God-fearing, who gave much alms, good deeds to the people. He was very generous and prayed to God always. But when you read the rest of the chapter, Peter was sent to preach the gospel to him, and he and his household, at the end of the chapter, Peter commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. So he was a really good man in many ways, but he was still lost. And you can read in the book of Acts of other people who were religious, those people, those Jews who showed up on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. They're called devout men from every nation, but they need, Peter told them to repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38. And then you come to Acts chapter 8. And there is an Ethiopian eunuch, and he had been to Jerusalem to worship God there at the temple. And as he was going home, Philip was led to him, and Philip preached Jesus to him. And they stopped, and Philip baptized him after he had made the good confession. Here's a religious man. He had been to Jerusalem to worship, but he still needed to obey the gospel. In Acts chapter 9, Saul of Tarsus, who would become the Apostle Paul, was a very religious man, but in Damascus, Ananias told him to arise and be baptized and wash away his sins. And we can read of other examples of people who were good people, they were even religious people, but they had not obeyed the gospel yet. And so, goodness and even religion alone will not save. We have to obey the gospel and be baptized into Christ scripturally. Somebody says, well, maybe I can be a member of some sort of a human institution, a member of some sort of a human group, like the Masonic Lodge, for example, or a member of the Shriners. There's different kinds of groups like that, or the Salvation Army, for example. Different groups, especially charity groups, groups that raise money for children, they will help the sick, they'll help the needy, and it's certainly good to help others. But these institutions, these fraternal organizations, do not save. We have to be a member of the body of Christ, not a member of some man-made social organization. I know that because in the book of Ephesians, in chapter 5, Paul writes, Christ is the head of the church, being himself the Savior of the body. Ephesians 5:23. If I want to be saved, I have to be in the body of Christ, a member of Christ's body, not a member of some human organization. Well, what is the body? Well, back in Ephesians 1:22, God made Christ head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. The church is the body. Christ is the Savior of the body, Ephesians 5:23, and the church is the body, Ephesians 1:22 and 23. So Christ is the Savior of the church. I've got to be in His body. Paul goes on to write in Ephesians chapter 2 that it's in that body that all of us are brought near together. We're reconciled. Paul writes in chapter 2, verse 16, and might reconcile them both in one body unto God through the cross. That's where different people can come together. In chapter 3, Paul writes that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body. In chapter 4, Paul writes, there is one body. In chapter 5, Jesus is the Savior of the body. And so we find in 5 of the 6 chapters this mention of the body or the church of Christ. And so, yes, it is important and necessary that I be in that body. We must conclude that the body and the church are one, and that membership in that body, that organization, saves, not some human institution. Well, somebody might say, well, you know, what about just picking a denomination? Just pick a denominational church. And they don't understand that that runs contrary to New Testament teaching. The different denominations that you see out there today, they're not found anywhere in the New Testament church. Their names are not found in the New Testament. Their practices, their theology is not found there. And all of these different denominations, all they do is they divide people by name, by practice, by theology, and that runs contrary to what Jesus wants. Jesus prayed for unity in John chapter 17, 20 and 21. Jesus prayed that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee. Oneness, not division. Denominationalism, all it does is foster division. But Jesus wants His followers to be one. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10, I beseech you to speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Jesus prayed for unity, John 17. Paul begged or pled for unity in 1 Corinthians 1:10, and then Paul gave the platform or the plan for unity in Ephesians 4 and verse 4. There is one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God. Jesus prayed for unity, Paul pled for unity, and Paul gave the plan for unity. So denominationalism by nature and by definition is fostering division, where Jesus and Paul want unity. If we want to be one as God ordained, as Jesus prayed for and Paul pled for, it's going to be in the one body of Christ. And somebody says, well, you know, in Ephesians 4, verse 4, Paul writes one body, but we all know that all the different churches make up the one body of Christ. You'll hear that a lot. The problem with that is people who make that argument, they don't make the same argument with the rest of the verse. Do all spirits make up one spirit? Do all hopes make up one hope? Do many lords make up one Lord? Many faiths make up one faith? Many baptisms make up one baptism? Many gods make up the one God? Does that work? They know that that doesn't work. One means one. It doesn't mean many things equal one. One just simply means one. And so there's one body of Christians anywhere in the world that obey the gospel properly and worship properly by that gospel, that is the one body of Christ today. So, friends, the church is absolutely necessary. You keep in mind Ephesians 5:23. Jesus is the head of the body, and he's the Savior. He's the head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body. If you want to be saved, you have to be in that body. And that body is the church. And we'll talk about how to enter into that before we close this morning. While we're here in the book of Ephesians, I want to do something else before we leave the book of Ephesians. Turn back with me to Ephesians 1 and verse 3. Paul writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." We can be blessed with every spiritual blessing. You're talking about forgiveness of sins, answered prayer, a hope of heaven. But Paul writes, it's in Christ. And in the book of Ephesians, in Christ means in his body. And in his body means in his church. And so if we want all spiritual blessings, we've got to be in that church. Do you want all spiritual blessings? Not some, not most, but all. You've got to be in Christ. And to be in Christ is to be in his body or to be in his church. Come on down to verse 7. Paul writes, "In whom," or in Christ, "we have our redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace." Do you want redemption? Do you want forgiveness? Paul writes, it's in Christ or in him. So we want these things. I think if I went around town and said, "Do you want every spiritual blessing? Do you want forgiveness of sins?" I'm pretty certain that most people would say yes. Well, you've got to be in Christ to get that, Paul says. It's not in the world. It's not by being just a good person. It's not by being a member of a human organization. It's not by just picking some man-made denomination. It's in Christ. And that's why it is so important to be in him. The book of Ephesians talks about the importance of the church. It's a great book, and it needs to be read over and over again because we live in a world today where sports are more important than the church. Look at the Super Bowl that we just had. Sports are more important to the church. Hobbies are more important than the church. Education is more important than the church. Work is more important than the church. Friends are more important than the church. My phone is more important, and social media is more important than the church. And Jesus died on the cross to shed his blood and purchase a church, and people today don't even care anything about it. We've got to get that back in our life, that the church is important to us. In chapter 3, Paul writes in Ephesians 3:10, that in the heavenly places might be made known through the church the manifold wisdom of God. The church shows the manifold wisdom of God. And in the same chapter, chapter 3, verse 21, "Unto him, God, be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus." This is how we glorify God, by being in the church. And it's the church, again, not a building, but people who are saved. It shows the wisdom of God. Friends, you've got to see the necessity of the church. It is so important. It's just like the necessity of air. You have to have air to breathe. The necessity of water. The necessity of something to eat. We know that these three things, air, water, food, are absolutely necessary. We make sure that we have those in our life. We need to see the necessity of the church for our spiritual life, for our spiritual life, our soul that is within us. We see necessity of air, water, food for our body. We need to see the necessity of the church for our soul or our spirit. So friends, that is very important. Another passage that is important is Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, when Paul was talking to the Ephesian elders. He said, "Take heed unto yourselves and to all the flock," the Christians, group of Christians, "over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood." The church of God. Notice, by the way, that Jesus is called God there. It's the church of God, which he, Jesus, has purchased with his own blood. The church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. Jesus died on the cross to purchase a church, not a building, a group of people. The church is that group of purchased or redeemed people through his blood. And Christ purchased the church with his own blood. If you're not a member of that body or that church, you have never been redeemed. You have never been cleansed with the blood. It's the church which he has purchased with his own blood. And we cannot be saved or redeemed without the blood of Christ. Friends, stop and consider the importance of Jesus dying on the cross for you and for me. The agony and the pain of the cross that he went through. If you can be saved outside the church, and you don't need the church for anything, you can be saved in the world, or you can be saved by being a good person or being a member of some human institution, then Jesus' death was worthless. It's completely worthless. His death is worthless. The church as an institution is completely worthless. Who can believe that? Friends, it's the church which he purchased with his own blood. He died on the cross. That was such a necessary and important thing, making the church a necessary and important relationship that we need to have in our life. And somebody says, well, how do we contact the blood of Christ? Well, when we contact his death, and we do that in baptism. Paul wrote in Galatians 3:27, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ." That's how we enter into Christ or enter into his body. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13, "For in one spirit were you all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks." So we've got to be baptized into the one body. And we're not in the body until we're baptized into the body. There's so many people out there today that say, well, you're in the body by faith only. No. Paul said that we are baptized into Christ. Paul said that we are baptized into the body. If we're already in the body, how can you be baptized into the body that you're already in? And then in Romans chapter 6, we contact the blood of Christ when we contact his death. And Paul writes that we were buried, therefore, with him, Jesus, through baptism into death. And so it's that baptism that puts us into the body of Christ and allows us to be cleansed by his blood. The blood of Jesus saves, absolutely. The blood of Jesus saves. But we contact that blood in baptism. So friends, before we close, let me just remind us how that we can be a member of the Lord's church or a member of the Lord's body. First of all, we need to hear the gospel. Paul writes in Romans 10 and verse 17, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." We've got to hear the word of God. Romans 1:16, "The gospel is God's power unto salvation," and we've got to hear that gospel. Then we've got to believe it. We've got to believe what we hear. We absolutely have to have faith. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews 11 and verse 6, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Jesus sent his disciples to preach the gospel to all creation, Mark 16:15. And then he said in Mark 16:16, he that believes, that is, believes the gospel, and is baptized, shall be saved. So, we've got to hear the gospel, we've got to believe the gospel. We need to repent of our sins. We need to turn around, turn away from sin. Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Luke 13:3-5. Peter said, repent and be baptized, Acts 2:38. Peter preached to those at Mars Hill or the Areopagus, and he said, God commands all men everywhere that they should repent, Acts 17:30. Then we need to confess that Jesus is the Christ. We need to believe that in our heart and confess that with our mouth. Paul wrote in Romans 10:10, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Unto salvation. And so it leads to that. And then we need to be baptized after our confession. Peter said to those on the day of Pentecost, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Paul wrote in Galatians 3:27 that we are baptized into Christ. And Acts 22:16, Ananias told Paul to arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. And Peter writes in 1 Peter 3:21, baptism doth also now save you. It's nothing in the water that saves. It saves because it places one into the blood of Christ. And then after doing those things, the Lord adds you to his church. Acts 2:47, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. After our obedience to Christ, he adds us to his church, his body, and therein, friends, is where we have salvation. Yes, the church is absolutely necessary. It is a group of Christians that we must be a member of in order to reach that heavenly goal. A true conversion to Christ will bring you into the body of Christ. And friends, I would encourage you to seek membership in that body at the earliest opportunity. Absolutely do not wait. Be a member of the most necessary and important relationship that you need in life. Seek out the Lord's church near you, and there's one in your community here in Clarksville, in Montgomery County, the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ, and become a New Testament Christian and work and worship with other New Testament Christians that are striving to go to heaven. We are so thankful to God that he sent his son to die and shed his blood to purchase the church. Let's be a member of that body that Jesus will save when he comes again. Thank you for being with us on the program, and I hope that you'll have a good day.